Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for being with us last night as we gathered for prayer and for worship and for praise. Thank you also for blessing us today as we go into your word, and then be with us during the testimony service as well. We also thank you for blessing all those that gathered last night that had concerns for other folks that we have on our prayer list. And there's so many. And we pray that you bless each and every one of them, physically, spiritually, and financially, wherever they need it. And Father, we only pray for what we need. We're not looking to be millionaires or anything like that. As you know our hearts. And we thank you for knowing our hearts. Thank you also for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can see the fruits and the blessings and the miracles that follow your people so that you are glorified in you alone. And again, we pray in the only way we know how, to the best of our ability, in the name of your Son, our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. Trying to get this little thing on the microphone centered properly. Okay. For those of you listening on the radio, thank you for being here, first of all. And second of all, if you want to join us for study, in other words, we can read along. On the page that you logged on for the radio where the play button is, I'm thinking it's on that page. Let me just double check here. Right underneath the play button, just Sabbath Day Study where it says 119. Okay, that's wrong. It doesn't matter what the date there. Sabbath Day notes are always going to be, it doesn't matter what the date. So just go ahead and click that one. It'll bring you right to the most current position that we're at. That's question number 19. If you're on the phone, just go to, lesson number 12, question number 19. And we'll go a couple of minutes over because I was a little late. And it's testimony Sabbath, so we can go as long as we want. So, okay, the first question is, who will receive few stripes? Okay. And I believe allowing Jesus to explain the parable in context will be the best way to see what's being said here. So I'm going to start way back in verse 42, and I'll end, of course, on 48. And it says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give him their portion, or of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, like so many Christians are doing today, or they figure, another way to look at that where the Lord says, they say that my Lord delayeth his coming is, I'm young. I'm not going to die until I'm in my 70s or 80s. And so they figure they're going to party hardy when they're young. Or the Lord delayeth his coming. Not realizing, of course, that the end times is, you know, being where we're at, we really don't know we're not going to know the day of the second coming until, of course, the plagues hit and all that, and then it doesn't matter at that point because we're not preaching anymore. But the fact of the matter is we are extremely close now just by looking around at all the things. And, yes, there are certain prophecies that have to be fulfilled first, so he can't come at any second now. But there are some out there preaching that because they preach that seven-year trib thing and the secret rapture thing and all that. Anyway, getting back, it says, my Lord delayeth his coming and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens and to eat and drink and be drunken. The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him and at an hour when he is not aware and will cut him asunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Right, because the fact of the matter is, you know, you're dragging your feet getting towards the Lord. Eventually, you're going to stay away from the Lord because you're going to get used to being in the world. You're going to be used to being happy with, the eating, the drinking, and the and the carousing and, you know, and beating servants or whatever, you know, just being mean to each other, you know, because John the Baptist is pretty plain about that in John 3:14, you know, do violence to no man. Anyway, Jesus goes on to say, and that servant, which knew his Lord's will, in other words, these people aren't stupid, they know what the Bible says, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. And to him, and to whom men have committed much of him, they will ask the more. In other words, we are only judged by the light we're given. Still, this doesn't mean evil actions will go unpunished due to our ignorance of the word. I mean, after all, is it not written in Hosea 4, verse 6, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge? I mean, think of it this way. You're driving down a road, and just as you come into an intersection, you feel the need to change lanes. A cop sees, you know, he sees you do this and pulls you over. He tells you it's against the law to change lanes in intersections. You tell him you have no idea there was such a law. But the fact remains, that law is well written in the rules of the road book everyone that gets a license is tested in. He lets you off with a warning and a stern talking to that ignorance of the law is no excuse. You are then free to go, but now you are late for your appointment. You received a few stripes, but not as bad as expected. Or look at it this way. Before coming to Christ, you have no idea smoking was bad for you. After meeting Christ, you decide to quit. You don't die of cancer, but you do have some bouts with heart disease and other health issues for the rest of your life. In short, sin has consequences no matter what. Those who follow the Lord's lead in life will be blessed, but at the same time will not be without a spanking or two due to sins we have committed. We are called to be ambassadors during this 2,000-year absence of our Lord, and only absent in flesh, of course. We know he's around us at all times. He's going to be with us always to the end of the world. And we must care for his household and do all we can to reflect his will so as to better reflect his love on all that he leads us to while we're still in this world or visiting this planet. He has returned to heaven 2,000 years ago, yes, but he left us in charge and he expects us to watch and wait for his appearing to the best of our ability. And when I say he left us in charge, he is the head of the church. We're just managers of ministries and churches. That's all we can do. We can only do his will. We're in charge to that extent. That's it. We need to be faithful to that trust he has placed upon us, or else he will come when we least expect it and found sleeping, of course, and worthy of many stripes and even damnation for that matter, because we knew his will. All right? Okay, question number 20. And 21. I'm going to put them both together because they're both going to come up with the same answer. For some reason, they're, hold on, let me, okay, there. What is, oh, there it goes. All right. Some kind of a problem with the screen. The text chat was messing up. All right. So question 20 says, when the day comes that shall burn as an oven, all that do wickedly shall be what? And number 21 says, how thoroughly will the day that cometh burn them? And what will be left of them or on them? Is it of them? 21. On them. Seems odd. Anyway, chapter 4, verse 1 of the book of Malachi says, for behold, the day cometh that burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. And I'm thinking that's pretty blunt. This is obviously one passage that most Christians today have no clue exists. Satan has been very busy telling people for 6,000 years they will never die in his kingdom. I mean, little do the deceiver realize. Satan will be forced to acknowledge God's justice, you know, and bow his supremacy on that day just like everybody else. But until that day comes, his evil spirit of rebellion still runs amok all over the earth. Some may even see him as mind-numbingly stupid when we see how he refuses to see who he is up against. But that day is coming when he will have to stand before the King of Heaven strangely enough, even then, with only moments to live and absolutely nothing to gain, he still gathers his subjects to his side to excite them to surround the city in battle. I mean, this is why I come up with the thought, I'm thinking, how stupid can you be? I mean, he knows he's going to lose. I don't get this. Especially after the fact that it's already been said and done. He's been judged. He's going to die. Thanks. I'll get there. Thank you. So, the problem is here that I see is now that they, too, have a deep, heartfelt hatred of God as he does, none claimer to his command. His power over them ends on this day. They finally realize their case is hopeless. They know for a fact now that they cannot prevail against our God. It is now that their rage is focused on Satan, and here's the scary part for those strange, pride-filled preachers out there, but their rage is, of course, focused on Satan, but all those preachers and pastors that, you know, for deceiving them to the point of eternal damnation, they're going to rush upon these men and women, because some women out there claim to be pastors and are leading these, you know, mega churches. He's going to tear them to, all the people are going to tear them into, you know, to pieces in a demonic fury never seen before on earth. It says in Ezekiel 28, verses 6 to 8 and 16 and 19, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. They shall bring thee down to the pit. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all men that behold thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. It is now that fire comes down from God out of heaven, and as Malachi says, they shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. It's a sad thing, but there's a lot of people out there that are going to join this lot. I mean, the majority now, I mean, look at, today it's just like in Noah's day. It's like everywhere you turn, it's, even people you would think are Christians have no problem with little lies, or big lies for that matter, or all sorts of strange things. That's why we're so peculiar. And I praise God for that. Because he calls us peculiar first. All right, 22. It says, you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be what? In Malachi chapter 4, verse 3 says, and thank you again, Brother Gordon. It says, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I do this, say the Lord of hosts. You know, those who refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to perfect their characters, reflect that our Lord and King can never hope to enter into the city of our God. Their refusal to bow to the gentle nudges and even the outright hugs of the Holy Spirit in life will cause them to be literally cut off from all happiness, from all hope, from all peace and joy that describe the city of New Jerusalem, or just being in the presence of the Lord for all eternity. As many of us know, if they had only accepted the grace of Christ, they would have had the strength to resist the temptations of that enemy. I mean, we all read 1 Corinthians 10:13. No more often than, let's see, how do I mean, the change of character does not happen overnight, right? Yeah, of course, some significant changes will be realized on day one, but many have witnessed that those sinful traits that moved us to action for decades can be a bit more difficult to overcome as we walk closer to Christ, and especially if we don't even know that they're sinful. I remember for the first 10 years of my Christian walk, actually I would say the first 9 years of my Christian walk, I didn't know it was wrong to smoke. I thought it was perfectly okay to smoke cigarettes. So no, it's not that Jesus is weak and Satan is strong, as so many in the street do say, is that we are weak. Working out our salvation daily is also part of the walk as well as the test we're called to pass. This is why Paul said, I die daily in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Many of our traits do disappear on day one, yeah. But those that were cherished can take literally years to get rid of. Like I had an anger problem for many, many years. You know, I had it since childhood. This is one of the reasons I started to leave the house at a very early age. I wanted to go out into the woods or the prairies and just talk to God because I couldn't handle what was going on in the household. We had a very dysfunctional family. I was one of 11 children, so there was always an argument. There was always some kind of a war going on, and it was difficult to be there. And it didn't really affect me that much when I was a kid. It was mostly like I just didn't want to be around it, and so I would go out into the woods or the prairies, and I would just talk to God. And then all of a sudden, I came into my own being, I guess, and I became a young man. And then I just went out into the world. But then I brought all that anger with me that I was so indoctrinated into. And so when I became a Christian, that was one of the traits that I was having in my character that was very difficult. I still every now and then have bouts with it. But it's mostly where I'm biting my tongue or my lip, but every now and then I will speak out. But I won't use, like, you know, 400 words or anything like that or stuff, you know, evil things. I get a little bit too rambunctious, if you will. But I praise the Lord for the changes he has wrought. But still, I know on day one, when I saw how the Lord changed me, I didn't realize. I mean, I knew my mind changed. That was the biggest miracle I've ever witnessed in my life to this day. And I don't care if I see someone come up that has been dead 4 days like Lazarus and just all of a sudden reanimate and be alive. I still believe the changing of a man's heart is a greater miracle because I literally didn't like the things I liked the day before. He changed me. But then as I went through life, he started showing me, you know, as time went on. I mean, I was doing these sinful things, but I didn't know they were wrong, and I'm only judged by the light I'm giving. So if I die during this time, I'm not going to hell anyway. I didn't know that, but still, he said it. I believe it. That settles it because I found out later about that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, I just didn't realize certain things were wrong. And like even now, you know, I'm sure tomorrow the Lord's going to show me something that I could better my walk with. And so, but don't let that discourage you. Because if your heart is truly after the Lord's heart, then you're going to grow stronger each and every day to reflect his character with each passing day. It's just going to happen. Some things may take a little longer than others, especially if you've been ensconced in it for many, many years or indoctrinated into it, especially if you've been a Roman Catholic like I was or just been in the public school system or worse yet, like daycare centers and stuff like that where, you know, because like you know, the way that today's economy is, a lot of times the mom and the dad have to work, and so the kids are being raised by someone else. And when you get into that governmental method of raising kids, I mean, just look at Article 28 of the United Nations where they said, don't spank the kids. This is why the kids are running rampant today. But that is a prophetic event, and that's supposed to happen, and it has happened. But, and I'm not saying, you know, beat the kids. The Bible says, you know, you can beat your child and they will not die. Why? Well, because the Lord is talking to someone who loves their children. People that love their children, people that are Christians, don't beat them until they're dead. But mankind doesn't see it that way, so that's why they came out with Article 28 of the United Nations back in the, I think it was the early 90s. But by the way, those of us that have overcome in certain areas before others have, don't make the task to pass more difficult by ridiculing those of us that strive on to that perfection, because, come on, you knew it was a little difficult for you to get to there, to get to that plateau. Give them a break. They may not see what you see. You got to deal with it that way. That's a little difficult, especially if you're the dad, if you will, or even the mom, if there's no dad there, or even the mom if the dad is there, because sometimes the mom and the dad, they come to Christ at the same time, and the kids do things, and you got to know that they may be trying to the best of their ability, because mankind can't read hearts. We can't do it. So, what I mean, let's say you have a problem with anger, like I did, okay? But those around you don't. They are fully aware of your problem, and they do see you growing in Christ and getting better still. Some will push their buttons anyway to get them to fly off the handle. Sometimes the ones seeking to overcome will pass the test. Other times they may fail and repent with tears later. But what of you that brought them to those tears? That's right. You may have to overcome in the area of anger before your spouse or your sibling or your coworker or your friend. But is it possible you have not overcome the test of patience in your brethren who are growing slower than you are? I mean, it's just like snowflakes. None of us are the same. There's no two snowflakes alike. There's no two people alike. The truth is, it doesn't really matter what character trait has to be overcome. Just as sin is sin, no matter if it's a lie or a murder, character traits can also be just as deadly to the soul. I mean, don't think for a minute that because you overcame anger that you're more apt to gain heaven than your brethren, when you, in fact, have yet to overcome impatience. In other words, we all have our cross to bear. And unless we bear it with Christ, we will be ashes under the soles of the residents of New Jerusalem. And maybe we can do one more here. One or two more. Let's see. Maybe two. Number 23. The flames will devour them as what? And Nahum says in chapter 1, verse 10, for while they be folded together as thorns, and while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble, fully dry. Now we see the lesson also quotes Proverbs 24:20, which says, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. I mean, what amazes me about this is how the chosen people of God do at times seek to be entertained by the wicked in a multitude of ways. One would think we would be more apt to be quite enthusiastic, knowing that what awaits us in the kingdom as well as what awaits those outside the kingdom, you know. We strive for that crown and blessing of immortality granted all those who reside in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit throughout eternity. In this city, where there is no need for the light of the sun or even a small candle to guide us, because the light of the Lord dispels even the shadows that are cast by the sun, we will be immortal, obedient ones. Our lives will be like, just as Isaiah 65:22, where he says, for as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. We will live forever and ever. But as we see here, the wicked who choose the flesh over the creator of all flesh will be out, they're going to be put out into humiliating darkness for their deeds done in light. And some people say, well, wait, the life of a tree. Okay, granted, trees live for a couple 300 years, and I don't much cherish the fact of only living a couple 300 years in eternity. I want to be all alive forever. Well, if you do some research into the post, or rather the pre-flood world, you'll find evidence that trees can continue to live on in a perfect environment. Look at the sequoias, for example. These are some of the oldest trees on the planet, or even that one that they found in Jerusalem. I think it's a mustard tree or something like that. The thing is 6,000. It's the same age as when the rain pulled back on October 1st, or the 10th month, or the first day of the month in Noah's day. What was that, 4,000 or 5,000 years ago? And that tree is still alive. Although some sequoias do die, some redwoods do die, and that tree can die because of the pollution and all the other things that are, you know, choking this planet's life right out of it. But before the flood, when you had that, the firmament above and the double atmosphere and all that stuff, no. A tree looks to be a little bit, it looks more eternal than anything else because of the fact that, it's not something that can easily be killed. Now look at lizards too. People think, where did the brontosaurus come from and all these gigantic, why did they get so big? Well, I don't know how long ago they discovered this. I imagine they discovered this hundreds of years ago. Lizards never stop growing. All the way to the day they die, they just keep growing. If you've ever owned an iguana, you know that. It just keeps growing until the day it dies. But if it's in an atmosphere that's double, and it's perfect before the flood of Noah, and it continues to grow, and it can live like mankind for 1,000 years, because what was the oldest living man? Methuselah, 969. And because it has to do something with that, within that day you shall die when they eat of the fruit of the tree, and so a day is 1,000 years to the Father. So ain't no one lived past 1,000 years, as far as I know in scriptures. Adam was 939. But a lizard, 900 and some odd years old, is going to get huge because it never stops growing. Think about that, Nick, because my son's Nick here. I visited him a couple of weeks ago. He's got a lizard. one of his boys wanted to have a lizard for one of the pets. And Could you imagine if you had a, if you had that lizard for a couple 300 years? That thing would be massive. That'd be huge. All right, we can do one more here because we started a little late. Let me just do one more. Number 24. And speaking of the wicked that get burned up, it says, they shall be as though what? And Obadiah 6, 1 verse 16 says, for as ye have drunk upon the, my holy mountain, so shall all the heathen drink continually. Yea, they shall drink, and they shall swallow down, and they shall be as though they had not been. Bottom line is this, obedient ones, then the end will come just as our God has said. And our Lord will vindicate his law. He will deliver his people. The wicked cannot party. I mean, they can now. They can party all they want right now. Day in, day out, it don't matter. They can live it up as if they haven't a care in the world their entire life, in fact. But the Lord will do as he said he will do, and he will put an end to all their fun and their games, and in so doing, he will vindicate his perfect law. And when it is all said and done, they will be as if they have never existed. I mean, especially think about it. Like, let's say we're up in heaven for 10 trillion years, and, you know, it's more or less like day one because it's never ending anyway. Are you going to remember guys like Obama or Ratzinger or Joe Biden or that annoying neighbor next door that always got in your face because you're a Christian or the atheist or Bill Maher, the guy that hates Christians, he's a so-called political comedian? You know, any of these people going to come to mind? No. They're going to be, you know, the amount of fame that they had on earth, like Elvis Presley or Michael Jackson, are they going to come to mind? I think Michael Jackson had the most fans that ever, of any man that ever existed. Except, second only to Lord Jesus Christ, and I won't say a fan. People knew Jesus, just as, you know, a lot more people knew Jesus than that knew Michael Jackson, because, you know, Michael Jackson wasn't there 2,000 years ago. But the fact of the matter, my point is, no matter how famous or infamous someone is on this planet, during your generation or anybody's generation, I mean, look at Hitler. He's been dead for a long time. People still talk about that guy. Or Attila the Hun, or even Cain, what he did to Abel. People have known about these guys. But at the end of a trillion years, I would imagine guys like Cain would be brought up, but Hitler wouldn't. Maybe just in passing, when you go into some of the prophecies in regards to the just desserts for the Jews for denying the Lord as Savior. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, most of this stuff won't even, yeah, amen. Affliction will not rise up a second time. There's no need for it. And as expected and as prophesied so many times in the Word of God, Satan and all who have joined him in his insane rebellion will be forever cut off. Sin and sinners will perish, root and branch, just as Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 stated long ago. The word will be fulfilled, just as it is written, and the prince of evil will be forever dead. And speaking of Ezekiel, David and Obadiah declare that all this will happen because Satan has set thine heart as the heart of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. Then the wicked shall not be. Yea, though they, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. You know, they can even look for it. It's just, they're not going to be there. And it goes on, it says, and they shall be as though they had not been. And you can find all that, of course, in Ezekiel 28, verses 6 to 19, Psalm 37, verse 10, and Obadiah, chapter 16, of course. I hope and pray you're blessed by what you heard this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.